morning, everyone. Nice to have you all here. All right. The first case of the day is 083389, and it's Knox versus Astrew. And it's Mr. Rose. Good morning, Mr. Rose.
Honorable Court, Mr. Kristoff, my name is Ashley Rose. I represent the plaintiff appellant in this case. If it please the Court, I have covered most of the major issues in my main brief, and I thought for purposes of oral argument I would concentrate on the question of the compliance with Social Security ruling 96-8P. The reason for that is that the district court rather flatly indicated in a decision that he wrote that it was not necessary to comply with the function-by-function analysis, which is mentioned at least two important places in the ruling. And I wanted to focus on the fact that when we have in Social Security process of evaluation, there are really two major points in that five-step evaluation where functional analysis is required. The first one is in step two, which is the step in which severe and non-severe impairments are to be ascertained. And the way that that is done, according to SSR 96-3P, is a functional analysis to determine which are and which are not such impairments, severe or non-severe. When we come to step four, however, that is to say that one goes beyond step three, which is a medical determination only, the ruling in question, 96-8P, states specifically that it's the commissioner's policy to undertake a function-by-function analysis.
And this is, could I just interrupt? I mean, yes, certainly sure. Step two, the ALJ finds that there is severe impairment of a vertebrogenic nature in the abdominal terminus, hernia. So there's no issue about step two in your brief.
There isn't an issue, and I didn't raise the issue that might, since the typically the ALJs in their decisions will assert rather than analyze what impairments are or are not severe.
Right.
They don't
undertake. Okay. I mean, I just, since the ALJ was persuaded that there was a severe impairment here, this case moves to the later stages.
Correct. Yeah, that's very true.
So you're not saying you'd have to write this function-by-function analysis even if the ALJ finds in your favor.
Not at step two, Your Honor. No, that's as I say, that's the point at which severe and non-severe impairments are to be ascertained. And then, of course, if there is a combination of such impairments, it has to be considered at other steps. But at step four, the functional analysis is to indicate whether or is to ascertain whether or not the individual is able to carry out the major strength requirements, which includes sitting, standing, walking, lifting, and so forth, and to ascertain whether or not they are able to do that on a regular continuing basis, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Was there any medical opinion offered that indicated that Mr. Knox could not even do sedentary work?
There was no medical opinion that specifically stated that, although his treating doctor, Dr. Tata, T-A-T-A, it seemed to indicate that he was rather severely limited and recommended some kind of rehabilitation training. That would be as close, I believe, as the record would come. Typically, doctors are producing records for their own purposes, and also I think typically doctors are not aware of the requirements of Social Security law. Most doctors, unless they are under contract to the agency, they don't know what sedentary, and those of course are terms of art, sedentary, light, medium, and so forth, are terms of art.
Well, they are, but, I mean, certainly a rational ALJ could interpret Dr. Tata's statement as one indicating that he actually could do sedentary work. It seems to me a reasonable interpretation of that, saying seek vocational training so that you can get sedentary or perhaps even light work.
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that Dr. Tata thought that he could do it. I mean,
but he says he doesn't rule it out. And I'm just saying, yeah, since we need to give deference to the way the ALJ approaches these fundamental record facts, it seems to me that's a perfectly rational interpretation of what Dr. Tata is saying.
Well, if the court understands it that way, that may be...
Or if the ALJ understood it, I mean, it's really not our job, actually, to be the first one.
That's true. That's true. But even if the ALJ did understand it that way, that doesn't end the story. That is, there's more to it than just what the doctor says, because, once again, the doctor saying that he should have vocational rehabilitation doesn't know whether or not that would work, for one thing. He doesn't know also whether or not he doesn't state as much that the individual would be able to perform sedentary or light or other degrees of exertional requirements.
What were the circumstances surrounding the letter that he sent when he applied for this welder's job and seemed to say that, and I can do that kind of work?
Yes. I think this is a situation where the individual wanted to work. Many, of course, are almost desperate. They have to work.
Right. I understand. Did he explain that and say that was his motive, that he was not telling being perfectly upfront when he was presenting his medical situation for the welder's job?
I don't think there's any indication that he was trying to obfuscate his situation or try to make it out that he was better than he was. I think he was simply trying because there was an opening. He is a late. His whole history of occupation has been laboring work, and so he wanted to try it. And it turned out that because of the medications that he was taking, that the company doctor felt that he was not capable of doing the work. And at first it said that he was not going to be allowed to do any driving of the company vehicles if he were. But at the same time, it doesn't indicate that even though he wanted to work, it doesn't indicate that he would have been able to handle that job. A welder's job is, I'm not sure what...
it's a lot of bending and
a lot of bending, stooping, reaching, and crawling, and those kinds of things. And if the ALJ had had some form of functional analysis to say, well, he can sit or he can stand for how many hours a day, 4 to 6 or so hours per day, that would be one thing. But the ALJ doesn't have any of that because the ALJ never did anything. And I see my time is
up. Thank you. Mr. Kristoff, morning.
Morning. May it please the Court, Edward Kristoff on behalf of Commissioner Astru. Since the appellant has limited his argument to the RFC finding in this case, I'll do likewise. There is no battle of conflicting medical evidence in this case. Each and every physician who offered an opinion in this case indicated that Mr. Knox could perform at least a full range of sedentary work. His treating surgeon indicated that he could perform medium work, lifting up to 50 pounds. But each and every doctor indicated he could do at least the range of sedentary work identified in the ALJ's decision.
Could I just ask you this? In finding him incredible as to his subjective complaints, the ALJ relied in part on the physical exam given as part of the employment application. And that found a good range of motion in his lumbar spine, that he could heel and toe walk, squat, duck, etc. He didn't get the job, of course, because of the significant doses of medication that he had to take. if that medication was for back pain, then wouldn't that exam support rather than negate his subjective complaints and therefore, you know, weigh in favor of finding him credible?
Well, Your Honor, the examination didn't produce an opinion of limitations incompatible with sedentary work. What Caterpillar's requirements are for its employees and its plants is not the issue in the case.
But that's not Judge Rovner's question either. The question is why reject his reports of the pain when there is objective evidence in the record of the medications that physicians have given him, which are certainly medications designed to address pain, and especially that Caterpillar exam. So doesn't this show an objective outside corroboration of his self-reports of pain?
Well, Your Honor, it certainly supports that he has pain.
And the ALJ didn't believe him.
Well, Your Honor, the ALJ believed that he had pain. The ALJ believed that he had significant pain such that he limited him to sedentary work. However, he did not accept his claims that he was unable to perform any work whatsoever. And all of the doctors agreed with the ALJ. All of the doctors were aware of Mr. Knox's complaints of pain. All of the doctors found that he could perform at least sedentary work. And so it's a medical analysis that all these doctors made that despite this pain, he could perform at least sedentary work. It's not that the ALJ completely disbelieved that he had any symptoms. It's that he did not believe he had disabling symptoms as he claimed.
But what he seems to say is that I find that the medically determinable impairments could reasonably be expected to produce the alleged symptoms, but that the claimant's statements concerning the intensity, persistence, and limiting effects of these symptoms are not entirely credible. And that's where we wind up with perhaps a slight conflict with what's in the record.
Your Honor, I don't believe there is any conflict in the record.
Why would you give, unless you think doctors are just pill pushers, why would they be prescribing these very significant doses of pain meds?
Because he had pain. And the ALJ acknowledged that when he limited him to sedentary work. Again, one can work with pain. The question is whether he can do the range of sedentary work identified by the ALJ. The question is not whether a claimant is pain-free or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's whether he can perform work despite the pain. And in this case, the ALJ reasonably found that he could. And all of the doctors agreed with that assessment. Now, the court asked about the Caterpillar examination, and what's remarkable about that, not even so much the fact that he applied for the job in the first place, but the differences in the stories he told, depending on whether he was pursuing his claim for disability benefits or whether he was pursuing employment. He told Caterpillar that he didn't have back pain as a current problem. 2 months earlier, he had told Dr. Kahn that he had disabling back pain. He told Caterpillar that he had never had numbness or tingling. He told Dr. Kahn that was a significant problem. This is not a credible claimant. The ALJ had every reason to question his statements regarding his subjective symptoms, and the ALJ's assessment in that regard is owed significant deference. The claimant is not argued regarding the Step 3 finding at argument today. I would just note again that he has never claimed at any point that he met or equaled any particular listing. He has never identified with regard to the RFC finding and the function-by-function analysis what function he believes the ALJ missed. The restriction to sedentary work has definite meaning under the commissioner's regulations and rulings.
The burden is on him anyway at that stage, is it not?
It is, Your Honor.
Yes.
And sedentary work has a specific meaning. It means he's able to lift 10 pounds. He's able to stand and walk for about 2 hours in a day. And he's able to sit for about 6 hours in a day. And every doctor that gave an opinion, including the doctors that specifically assessed the ability to lift and sit and stand and walk, found that he could do the lifting, sitting, standing, and walking required of sedentary work. The technical arguments that the claimant is raising here cannot overcome the overwhelming evidence supporting the ALJ's decision in this case. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you.
Mr.
very briefly, the ALJ did not undertake any valid credibility analysis, which is required of SSR 96-7P, which requires the ALJ to ground his credibility determination in the medical and other evidence so that the claimant and any reviewing body, such as this court, can understand what the credibility determination was all about. This was certainly not done. And the ALJ never followed up on the words that Judge Wood has quoted here before. Another point that I would like to raise, and that is that the doctors, even if they specifically said that he could do sedentary work, does not mean that they understand the functional analysis. That is to say, if a person is able to do sedentary work, he or she must be able to stand or walk occasionally, which means from very little to 2 hours out of an 8-hour day. Now, how does anybody know whether he can do that unless they actually make an analysis of that? This is lacking completely in the record. And that's why I say I think that SSR 96-8P should be applied, and it should be and the court should find that it was not applied in this case, and that as a consequence, that is reversible error. And I have cited the recent case of Liskovitz in my reply brief. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Thanks to both counsel, and the case will be taken under advisement.